Warning, the following podcast contains mature language and content.
You're listening to Dude, Wait, What Podcast. Snake. Snake!
Welcome to the Dude, Wait, What Podcast, an hour of news, opinions, and just plain old talk about video games and the gaming community. You can find our website at dudewaitwhatpodcast.blogspot.com, and you can contact us by leaving us a message on the Nerdsphere forums. Those are at autobotcity.myfastforum.org. All right, welcome folks to the Dude, Wait, What Podcast, episode 18 or something. This week we're doing our special listeners questions episode. I'm Toya, with me today are Bob.
Hello again.
Sean.
Yo, 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 yo.
Jamie.
Hey, yo.
And special guest Sammy.
Hello, folks.
So, ladies and gents, we asked yesterday on Twitter in our live show and on Facebook to send us questions. I'm also going to be checking the Facebook group. I actually forgot to check that this morning to see if there were any additional questions. I'll do that really quickly right now, and we can sort of really get into it immediately. Our first question comes from Shiva, who is actually works in the video game development industry, good friend of mine, asks us, if a herring and a half costs a penny and a half, how much for half a herring?
Half a penny.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
You're a mortal soul.
Try harder, Shiva. Try harder.
Sue, that certainly sets the mood for all the rest of the questions. Have we killed a half hour yet? No?
Let's shove on through.
All right. Okay. Our next question comes from BatCam11, and his question is: did anyone on the podcast play Dead Space and beat the game without crapping themselves?
No, I still need to play the game though.
I played the game.
Mm-hmm.
I played the game.
Yeah.
I never cacked myself, and I eventually got bored.
I finished the game. I didn't really find it particularly scary. I liked it was nice and atmospheric. That was nice, but
yeah,
scary. Now, there were a couple moments where you kind of jump, but like not like terrified. It was more.
I'm waiting to be scared like I was in Resident Evil.
From the looks of it though, Dead Space, as scary as it looks, it doesn't look like it's going to scare me over the top. I'm all for horror games and all that. That's why I play Silent Hill. But Dead Space, it looks good. I'll give it a try.
See,
but it doesn't look all that scary.
For horror games, it takes a lot more than just the monsters to scare me, which is why Silent Hill 2 is to date one of my favorite horror games, because it's not just about the monsters. If anything, the main character himself is a source of far greater terror than any of the monsters in that game. What's another good example? There's some nice indie games that are really terrifying. There's one called, I think it's Edith, that is a Flash game that is absolutely terrifying. Penumbra.
That's the thing about...
Penumbra's an indie game that is absolutely terrifying. There are no monsters in Penumbra. But the story and the... Are there?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember.
Right at the start.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, and there's also that one that I saw on Steam recently, the one where you're trapped in a ship in the Arctic. Anybody remember the name of that one?
Oh, I actually saw it as on PS2 actually.
No. You're thinking something else entirely. Cryostasis. Yeah. That's the game. Cryostasis. Oh, okay. Yeah, trust me. If you've seen Cryostasis, it's not going to run on a PS2. Oh yeah, Cryostasis looks awesome. That looks pretty scary. Even though it does rely on the monsters with the guns and everything, what really the terror is being stemmed from there is the situation on the ship minutes before, or I shouldn't say minutes, months before the decline that you see when you get there. That game, it looks definitely scary. So Dead Space, not scary, but the gameplay was nice. The gameplay was nice and inventive, and each enemy had like a different way to defeat. It, to me, it was more like Metroid than any kind of horror game. I looked at it like a sci-fi game, really. Yeah, so, Dead Space?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, mm-hmm. That game actually just did not interest me.
Yeah. It's
I have to play it though.
It was fun. It was fun until it ended, and I actually was going to play through a second time, and I, like many games I say I'm going to play through a second time, it's like, well, I've seen it all already. You know, there's no much real reason to go through it again. The only reason I was going through it again because you could, there was a new game plus option. You could take all the stuff that you earned on your first playthrough and get more stuff on your second. So that's usually enjoyable. I think more games should come with that option.
Yes.
Autobot Murder has a couple of questions for us. These were actually asked before we decided to do the listener questions episode, but he asked it on our Facebook group. It's a two-part question. Question number one, what are your thoughts, opinions of the PS2? And question number two, what are some of your favorite PS2 titles?
Okay, first thought and opinion. Mm-hmm. It was a good console.
Yes.
Mm. It's still, you know, it still works and everything, blah, blah. Some of the games still stand out, but overall, it is dead. Let's be honest. Let's everyone be honest right now. It's
it
a dead
did
console.
Last a quite long time. It lasted about 10 years.
It lasted a very long time. Yeah. It lasted a very long time. But my favorite games on it, probably Metal Gear Solid 2 and Final Fantasy X and Transformers and Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Probably my favorite games of the PS2. That is pretty much it. Everything else, they can disappear, but those games really stood out for me.
Mm-hmm. Sammy?
Special.
The favorite titles for me on the PS2 would probably have to be the Kessen Trilogy and Final Fantasy X and the Metal Slug Anthology. To me, those games, are pretty much just.
I don't know. I don't know if you can count the Metal Slug Anthology, because remember those came out way before the PS2. That's just a collection.
You can't count games that were released.
No, of course. Again. Well, sorry. Yeah. Robotech Battlecry, because that is a really good game, and I couldn't stop playing it.
Mm-hmm. Sammy or Sean, anybody?
I still have my PS2, and I'm, some of my favorite games. Rumble Roses is good.
What?
Hey, actually, that is a good game. I have played that, and I actually think that that is a better wrestling game than it gets credit for.
No, it's not.
Dragon Quest VIII was good. Mm-hmm.
That's a hardcore RPG right there.
Some of the later Final Fantasy games that came out for the PlayStation 2, kind of meh. I did kind of like Drakon Secret of the Lost Gates or something like that.
That is a rare game right now.
Yeah, I actually have it. Mm. You ride a talking dragon?
It's Drakengard, I believe.
Yeah, Drakengard.
Drakengard. Jamie, some of your favorite PS2 games?
I'd have to say Tekken 4, Devil May Cry 3, WWF SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. All those sort of titles were awesome.
Hang on, rewind a second. Tekken 4?
Yeah.
I can understand if you said Tekken 5, but Tekken 4?
Why Tekken 4?
I just liked Tekken 4, and it was actually the first proper Tekken game on the PlayStation 2. Throw together like Tekken Tag Tournament.
Yeah, but Tekken Tag Tournament was better than Tekken 4.
Well, of course, definitely. And bearing in mind, Tekken 4 had the weakest story, and
My big complaint with Tekken 4 was that there were no extras in the game. Once you beat the game with everybody, there was nothing else to do. Which thankfully got remedied in Tekken 5, because they put in the Devil Within mode. There was Tekken 1, 2, and 3 were on that disc. I mean, that was mind-blowing. Mm. You got so much value for your money with Tekken 5. They also Slipede was on there as well. So Slipede or what's the name of that shooting game?
Slipede.
It was Slippy.
Yeah, Slippy.
Yeah. I mean, that was great. Some of my favorite PS2 games, definitely top of the list on that one, has got to be Silent Hill 2. I that is absolutely just good phenomenal story. Storytelling. Lower down the list, Ace Combat 5, Devil May Cry 3. What do I still have that I've hung on to for my collection? There's a lot of... I used to import Japanese PS2 games as well, so there's a lot of Japanese fighting games like Hokuto no Ken, which in America is known as Fist of the North Star, even though it didn't come out in America. Arcana Heart is a brilliant fighting game for the PS2.
I've actually seen that at my local GameStop.
What, Arcana Heart?
Yeah.
Oh, did it? Oh, yeah, it did get a US release, but that was, like, late in the PS2 library. I mean, it came out, I think the original Arcana Heart came out in, what was it, like, 2003? And it, I don't think it got a US release till like, 2006. So, it basically, they threw it on the PS2, like, at the tail end when it's like, well, we gotta put something on there. Because, thing was, as far as I remember, there was actually something put in place. Sony had a policy where they would greenlight games in North America only if they really showed off the power of what the PS2 could do. So there was a period of time where you saw Japanese games had a lot of 2D graphics. There were a lot of like light novel anime games in Japan which utilized the 2D graphics. And you wouldn't see those come over to the US, not because of their content, but because Sony didn't feel they accurately reflected, you know, what the PS2 could do. Which is why a lot of King of Fighters games were released on the PS2 in Japan but never came across to the US. And ironically, those same games got released on the Xbox. Pissed me off because I had a PS2 at the time. As we're talking about that, I just in my head got another game. I lost it again. There is a one. Oh, Persona 4. Persona 4 is the best RPG on the PS2. If I'm lying, I'm dying on this one. I challenge anybody to prove me otherwise. Go play Persona 4 and then tell me that is not the best RPG on the PS2.
Here's a better challenge for everyone.
Uh-huh.
Find a copy of Persona 4.
It's not that hard, actually. It really is not that hard. It wasn't well marketed, but it was well published in North America, at least. There's actually an edition you can get with the art book, which is highly recommended because I think it's like only $10 more.
Speaking of Persona, Toy, you actually recommended Persona 4 because you said that the story on that was really good.
The story is fantastic. The gameplay is unlike anything you've ever played. Well, it's your fairly basic turn-based combat system that you see in most RPGs, but it's the presentation and the soundtrack and characters that you can actually care about. Well, I did. I don't know if our listeners will, but they're better than the average JRPG. And these days, the average JRPG is thrown together and the characters are generic and you just don't give a damn.
Yeah, I'm stereotypical in every way possible.
Yeah, but I mean, the reason I like Persona 4, the characters are so quirky that you just have to give a damn about them. Like, there's an instance in the game where your main character ends up falling into an alternate dimension through a TV set. And when he comes back, his friend is there, and his friend's like, "Oh my god, I'm so glad you're back, because I've been standing here this whole time and I was afraid I was going to pee my pants." I mean, that kind of humor is just, you don't expect that from a video game. You know,
it's very witty humor.
And I will say, I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't played it, but there is a moment towards the end of Persona 4 where literally all your expectations about a video game story are shattered, like absolutely shattered. It's a type of narrative that I've rarely ever seen done in a video game. And usually they don't do it because they want the player to feel good about themselves and they want good things to happen, but I love it when a game developer will take a chance to make something happen that the player doesn't want, that the player has actively been trying to avoid or never even thought could happen. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, if you have played Persona 4, you probably know exactly what I'm talking about. If you haven't played it, I hope this entices you to go out and try it. You should get it. You can probably get it. The thing is, you probably won't get it used because most people who have played it will hang on to it, and that's probably where it's going to get hard to get it. But most game stores that still stock it probably are trying to sell off their copies, so you might get a copy for about $20 US, if even that much. But the game has hours and hours of gameplay in it. I'm sorry to go off on that one, but that is probably, you know, I would call that probably the one game I spent the most time on the PS2. Really, it is. Oh, and Sly Cooper for, you know, shits and giggles. I love the Sly Cooper series.
Yeah, the Sly Cooper series is a great game.
Absolutely.
I actually played and beat all three of them.
Oh, that's another good example of putting in stuff in games that you don't think you'll normally see. Does anybody remember the ending of Sly Cooper 2?
Yeah.
I guess I can spoil it. It's an old game, right? I can spoil this. Because you see what happens in part 3 anyway. When Bentley's legs get crushed, and it's like, up to this point, this is, you know, it's a kid's game, right? It's cartoon animals and it's a kid's game. But Bentley's legs get crushed and he's paralyzed for the rest of his life. And you're sitting there going, this is how they're going to end the game? You know, it's, wow. It's just, that shit was mind-blowing to me. And it almost made me want to not play part 3 because I had no idea what was going to happen. But, you know, thankfully my girlfriend at the time, she got me part 3 and told me, look, you need to finish that story. And I'm glad I did, because that game has a really, really good plot. It really does.
Well, he had some great gadgets in 3.
Oh, God, it was amazing. Actually, I think probably my favorite one of the 3 is Part 1, because in Part 1 they have this thing where you have to learn the skills as you go along. And the learning of the skills was so organic as you move through the game that it really feels like you're building an arsenal. And what I love about the game, now, you guys know I have this pet peeve with video games where in some games you'll get to, like, the final boss, and then you'll be expected to do, like, let's say it's a platforming game, suddenly you'll be in a flying sequence, like the Sonic games do. It's like, I haven't done this in the game before, what? But what is different about Sly Cooper, and what is good about Sly Cooper, is that the final level in a Sly Cooper game, the final boss, will test everything that you've learned throughout the game. It is a test of what you've been doing since moment one in that game up to the very end. And I think that that is absolutely fantastic. I think more game designers should take that cue.
What about the... Do you remember the Ratchet & Clank series? The first three of them?
I mean, how many questions have you got?
Not many, so we're okay spending time on this.
Cool.
Yeah.
The Ratchet & Clank series had something that was pretty cool with it, too. When you played the first one, yeah, you'd go in there straight through and unlock all the stuff. Mm-hmm. But then if you kept your save game and then played the second one, stuff from your first game would transfer over to the second game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you would get some of the weapons that you got in the first one in the second one.
To be fair, that doesn't work for every game, but I'm surprised that we didn't see that mechanic used more. And I'm sending the questions to everybody in the chat so we can all take a look at what the rest of the questions are so you guys can prepare yourselves to answer some stuff. In the meantime, I'm going to move on to the next question. The next question is from uppercase CCC, our good friend Chris. Chris asks, what is a game from your favorite franchise that you hate? And please don't say Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh, I've got one.
Go, Bob.
It's not my favorite franchise, mm-hmm. but it's easily the worst game within a franchise. Final Fantasy X-2.
Mm. Stop right there. I actually like that game.
So do I.
Yeah, but why? Why the fuck? What the fuck? What?
I will say, I like the gameplay. Up. I like the gameplay of the game, and I like the concept, but the story,
they're
not so much.
Dressing up girls.
The story of 10-2 was incredibly weak. I'll give you that.
I don't even know what the story was.
What?
I don't know. I don't care. All I care about is when I go in and go, oh, change your costume to... And you can be a singer mode. Fucking singer mode. Stick that right up your ass.
Okay, well anyway, but about 10-2, though, yes. Even though it had a very weird story, and even though the idea of it was a little bit hodgepodge in every single way, I actually kind of liked it. I know that a lot of people consider that game to be the worst Final Fantasy game ever made, and I'm not going to...
No, that's
fine. But me personally, I liked the gameplay of it.
Yeah.
The story was decent. It's not a great story, but it kind of grew on me over time.
Can I tell you one thing though, Sammy? The one thing that I did not like in that game is the fact that once you elect to complete a chapter, you cannot go back and do the submissions of that chapter.
That's a really egregious
design choice that I hope. I wish they wouldn't have done. That's
the problem. That's why I'm trying to get the perfect ending.
Sammy, what's your worst game in a series that you like?
Worst game in a series that I like? Well, even though I'm not considering it the worst game, I'm considering it the weakest. Tekken 2 and not Tekken 2. Kessen 2 in the Kessen trilogy. Okay, well, the reason is because even though the story, of course, it's about the Romance of the Three Kingdoms and all that, and I've got nothing wrong with the story of the Romance of the Three Kingdoms, mm-hmm. but it's just, for hours on end, the gameplay was so tedious, and I think I stayed up till about 3 in the morning to complete this one level, and I just, please, God, just end the game already. and pretty much, everything about the game was just, okay, I just want to end this game and get to Kessen 3 already, I'm tired of playing this. Because I had to try and get I wanted to try and get Liu Bei's story done and Cao Cao's story done, and as soon as I got that done, I just went, thank God that's over, and now I can do Kessen 3. Because even though it's not the worst, I'm considering it the weakest part in the trilogy, so to speak. It's because of the gameplay. It's definitely an improvement from what the first Kessen had, but I was more comfortable with what the first Kessen gameplay had, because it was very good gameplay. But the Kessen 2 gameplay and the whole the whole controlling the individual generals and all that, that was just a complete joke, I'm sorry, but that whole thing, controlling those generals was a complete waste of time, and it just, every time I think about that game, it just makes me angry. That's why I had to try and get that game out of the way as quick as possible.
Okay. Sean, what is your worst game in a series that you enjoy?
Resident Evil Survivor.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, dear God. For all those that have never played Resident Evil Survivor, it's basically a first-person shooter.
It's not even a first-person shooter. It's a rail shooter, because you can't even move around, really.
And it's basically set, pass, and what's the one key to a Resident Evil game, Toya?
Survival, like conserving ammo and...
And puzzle solutions.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how many puzzles you solve in Resident Evil Survivor?
None.
One.
There's a puzzle in that game?
There is one puzzle in that game.
I'll tell you what the puzzle is. The puzzle is, why the fuck are you playing it?
Exactly. Basically, the one puzzle is, you find a clock key. You find a clock. There's no doors here. Put key in clock. Wine clock. Oh, there's a door.
Yay.
Fuck you, clock.
All right. Jamie, what is your worst game in a series that you like?
It would have to be SmackDown versus Raw 2007. That, mm-hmm. Not 2000, 2008, I mean.
2008? I actually had that game. What was wrong with that?
I just didn't like it. It was in their phase where they started tweaking the controls. I think it was about the second game where they'd actually completely changed the control system, and it took a lot of getting used to.
Is that when they started using the right analog stick for stuff?
No, yeah. They did that before. No, they did that before that one.
Did they?
Yeah. Pretty sure they started in 7.
Yeah. It started in 8. Oops.
It might have been 8. It might have been 8. But look, I think the worst one is the third game. What was that one called again? Not the one before Shitty Mouth. Just Bring It. SmackDown, Just Bring It. That was the worst one. Because that was the first PS2 one. Uh-huh. And it was a rehash of SmackDown 2. It didn't even look very good. But everyone bought it in droves, including me.
All right, well, my worst game in a series that I love...
Sonic the Hedgehog.
The 06 game, yeah. The one that's just called Sonic the Hedgehog. That,
for
a number of reasons. One is that it's just a piss-poor game all around. The acting is horrible, the storyline is worse, the programming is barely there. I mean, and of all things, it red-ringed my Xbox twice.
You know what game I thought you were going to say, Talia?
What?
Mega Man 8.
Fuck Mega Man 8, but at least Mega Man 8 was playable. Sonic 06 was just, oh god, some of the levels didn't even work right. Oh, it's like a parody, it's like a comedy of errors. It's there's a moment, okay, a side mission in Sonic 06 involves you going and talking to a townsperson and then doing a mission for that townsperson. You go up to the townsperson and you press to talk to them. You click the button to talk to them and the game loads. It loads for about 30 seconds. The townsperson comes up and tells you what the mission is. It loads for another 30 seconds. It goes to the mission. You play the mission. It loads. By the way, the missions normally take about 10 seconds to do. It loads for another 30 seconds. It goes back to the townsperson who says, hey, congratulations, have these rings. Then it loads for another 30 seconds to go back to the town. Who was programming this game? Why do they hate me?
It was the warthogs.
Anyway, so, yeah. Next question. Hot Rod G1 asks, you are allowed to design and produce the game of your dreams. What genre is it in, and what would be the basic plot or story?
Nice and simple. RPG, to do with superheroes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you create a superhero, not exactly the same style of, say, Freedom Force, etc., where you pick random elements and that. You have a superhero who can move quickly and has very special powers, and he is a hero. Mm-hmm. And you get missions to do around the town, such as save cats and stuff like that, getting gradually more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And during the whole time, you eventually have someone trying to screw you over,
mm-hmm.
And you end up having to fight an evil nemesis and save the world. Kind of that kind of thing. There hasn't been a good superhero RPG really at all.
Bob does have
not
a point.
One that really makes you feel like a superhero, like your own superhero. Because like the starting abilities are going to be like you can move fast and you're stronger and stuff like that. But later on, you're going to develop your own abilities, such as being very good at martial arts or having eye beams or whatever the hell nonsense you want.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
All right. Sammy, then,
that's the idea.
Yeah. Sammy, what would yours be?
What would it be? Well, it would probably be an RPG. It would have a deep story, because I like deep stories.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what would the story be about?
Okay. The story would be about, again, the whole generic idea of good and evil, but here's the idea. You play as a teenage adolescent boy. I'm not trying to rip on Final Fantasy or anything, but you play as a teenage boy, and basically your whole purpose in the game is to basically just get to this one area where you find out who you are and where you came from and what is the purpose of your existence. And
so Final Fantasy VII.
No, it's not Final Fantasy VII. It's not Final Fantasy VII.
And anyway, so wait. You don't know what your original purpose is. So Final Fantasy VIII then.
But
you're on a great journey, so Final Fantasy X then.
Yeah.
I'm yanking your chain.
It could all be a dream.
Oh.
That'd be which game?
Dallas.
Final Fantasy X 2.
Dallas.
That's Dallas.
Okay, anyway. So basically the whole idea is you have to get to this one area to find out who you are and blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And along the way, you finally start to ask different people who you are and where you came from and what you are.
I just want to stop there. You say you finally start to ask people. So at the start, you just go around and go, I don't know who I am, but I don't think they know.
I've seen this story in a lot of games before, most notably the Yee's series or Wise or however you pronounce that damn thing. All right, well, that's Sammy's basic idea. Let's move on from that. Jamie, what's your basic idea for a game you'd like to make?
Dalek porn. I want to watch lots of Dalek porn. Good, Jamie. You're sick. You're sick, Jamie.
My idea would be a Batman.
Shut up, Bob. Shut up.
Universe fighter. Sort of. It would be based around some of the comic storylines, and you'd be able to fight some of the... take part in some of the epic fights from different comic storylines.
Hmm. That'd be interesting.
What, in the Arkham Asylum style?
No, it would be a straight-out fighting game.
Like one-on-one fighting?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's potential in that idea. I mean, superhero fighters have had a hit or miss. I mean, Marvel Super Heroes was very good. Marvel vs. Capcom was very good. Justice League Task Force was not. Mortal Kombat versus DC was not. So there's kind of a hit or miss going on here. I think there's room
for
this. All
I'll say is Batman versus the Red Hood.
Ooh. And for anybody who's seen that movie, yeah. All right, moving along. Sean, what's your basic idea for a game you'd like to make?
Y'all are probably going to laugh at me.
We do that anyway. We do that.
Yeah. Based on a interesting comic book series.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel Zombies.
Huh.
That's a bad idea.
Hang on. Where, how would you do this? Would you play as the zombies? Would you play as a zombie fighter? What would you do?
You would actually play... You would pick certain characters.
Mm-hmm.
You could play as a normal trying to fight off the other Marvel zombies, or you could play them as a zombie trying to infect
others. Let me run with you on this idea for a second, because something just popped into my head, right? What if, like, every boss level is, like, one of the top-tier Marvel characters? So, like, you could have, like, a boss fight against zombie Spider-Man who would be, like, chasing you up a building. You could have a boss fight against zombie Hulk where he'd be, like, smashing through a Colosseum trying to get to you. You could have a fight against...
zombie Wolverine.
God, zombie Wolverine stalking you in a forest.
Yeah.
These could actually be pretty good. I mean,
I just want to say something right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the Marvel Zombies universe...
Uh-huh.
All the major heroes are dead. I don't mean dead as in zombies. I mean the zombie forms of them are dead.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, to try and kill the zombies, the most powerful one they've got, I think they use the Machine Man and Ed the Duck.
Oh, God.
Right? That's what they've got at the moment, and some other people they've picked up.
I don't know. You could set it early in the continuity, I guess. I don't know.
Then if you set it, the problem you've got is, because I've read all the comics, right? I've read Marvel Zombies. Mm-hmm. The problem you've got is that you have this. You would have to do it as the only way you would work is if you did it from the when it was doing the Army of Darkness versus Marvel Zombies, okay. Right at the start of the story.
Oh, that actually makes sense.
There's your game right there. There's your game.
Ash versus the Marvel Zombies.
No. Because I mean, from that continuity, but you'd have to not be Ash. Because basically, there was still a lot of heroes alive at that point, and they were hiding on the Hail Carrier.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're placing too many artificial limitations on this. I think we should do the game as Ash. I think that would be great.
Yeah.
That idea could work.
Licensing would be a nightmare, though, but yeah, I think it could work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No. Moving on to my idea, I'm going to rehash an idea I had, like, decades ago. I had a pretty interesting idea. I was, you know, during the Dreamcast era, when game concepts were becoming like fresh and new, there were a lot of new ideas being thrown around, and stuff like Crazy Taxi and Tony Hawk Pro Skater had influenced me in kind of a score and skill based way. And I had this thought about maybe making a game where you'd have a competition to destroy a city. In that, you know, maybe you have this like giant city that is, you know, some kind of futuristic city that's expanding too fast, and they need to destroy the old growth area of the city. And you'd have different groups who come together, and it would be basically a competition, televised competition, as to who could destroy more of the city. Now, the catch is that if your opponent destroys more of the city, they're obviously going to win. So you actually have to fight your opponent, and basically when you beat them, or you beat one of their characters, it puts them in stun for a certain time, which is time that you can spend destroying stuff that your opponent cannot. So there's two things at work there. You want to destroy the city, but you also want to make sure your opponent is not getting the credit for it.
It's a rampage.
Essentially, but you're not playing like giant monsters. You're playing as like normal-sized human beings. And there'd be like three factions. One would be using weapons, one would be using martial arts, one would be using psychokinesis. You know, mix it up a bit. Make it wild. Make it creative, you know?
Red Rampage.
Okay.
Cross between Red Faction and Rampage.
All right. Yeah, that's not a bad name either. You know, go with that. Red Rampage. All right. Moving along in the questions. Matt, Timey2Wimey, asks, are there any cartoons based on video games that you enjoy watching? That's a loaded question, Matt. There are not very many good cartoons based on video games.
I'm trying to think of a cartoon. I'm trying to think of a cartoon based off a video game.
Well, I will say, I used to like the Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon, though in retrospect, it doesn't follow the core story very well. I will say, actually, okay, no. Here's one that I did enjoy watching. Not the Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog. I'm talking about the Saturday morning Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon.
Yeah,
the one with Princess Sally. Also, Wing Commander was very good. Wing Commander was an excellent animated series.
Yeah, Wing Commander was a very well-written cartoon as well.
Yeah, we shall not speak of the Street Fighter cartoon.
No.
Mortal Kombat cartoon.
Yeah.
The Mortal Kombat cartoon. Well,
no, not the Mortal Kombat. No.
Okay. Well, here's the idea, though. Okay, as bad as the cartoon is, and all of you aren't wrong for saying it's bad, and as bad as the cartoon was and how really poorly... the idea of it was, it had potential, but it just didn't work.
I really don't think it had any potential whatsoever. Because why would you make them a force for good and give them jets? And no, that's stupid.
Again, that whole idea for the cartoon was just a complete mess. I don't know why that whole idea ran with it, but
yeah, because they were marketing to the wrong people. Mortal Kombat was a game that was made for young adults, not for kids, and yet they're putting jets in the show like they want to merchandise it and they want to make toys, and that's like what?
No. Yeah, and here's the thing as well. If you are planning on making a cartoon that's based off of a game like Mortal Kombat, the only way that can work is if you do it as an anime and make it as loyal to the games with the gore and all that stuff.
You know,
and
have a Mortal Kombat anime would work.
Yeah.
A Mortal Kombat anime would work, directed by Yoshiaki Kawajiri.
Is that the guy who did
Ninja Scroll?
Did he also do Yorotsugdoji?
Not
that
I know.
No, that was somebody else. No, but I think whoever did Yuro Tsukudoji, I think that's the style they should shoot for in Mortal Kombat. I really do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hang on. If anime counts, I will say Street Fighter II, the animated movie, because that is.
No. He said a TV series.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just gonna say. I'm gonna say this right now. Street Fighter II, the animated movie, is a textbook example of how you should do a fighting game anime, because every character from that game, from Super Street Fighter II Turbo, got FaceTime, considerable FaceTime. There were one or two cameos, but even those were in exciting scenes. Every character was worked in. Every character had some potential or some meaning for being there, and it was an exciting story. It fit to the game story, and it even created new canon for the games, like the whole thing about Bison having his cape on or Ken and Ryu with the white headband and stuff. That stuff stuck so much that it ended up becoming part of the games after. Not the white headband, but basically how Ken had long hair and his headband became Ryu's headband after, and I like that story. Anyway, sorry, I guess that was our discussion on video game cards. Do you have anything else they want to bring up on that one? Anything?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got an answer to it.
Whoa, shut up. Jamie has something to say. Let Jamie talk.
My favorite cartoon based on a computer game would have to be the Super Mario Brothers 3 cartoon.
Huh.
That was pretty good, and I always used to like to play the particular world that they would show on the title screen.
I saw every episode of that, but I did catch one or two episodes of it, because by the time I started seeing it, they had already sort of phased that out and go into the Super Mario World cartoon, which I didn't think was as good. Sorry to cut you off, Sean, but Jamie doesn't talk much, so, you know.
Yeah.
You gotta have his...
Yeah, but the thing was, I was going to mention the same cartoon he did.
Oh, well, there you go, then.
Oops.
That's fine.
What about Captain N?
Oh boy, Captain N had a good concept.
That was based on more than one game.
Captain N had a good concept, but it was very poorly executed.
I think the problem with Captain N was a lot of those characters did not have definitive media presences. And when I say that, I mean, like, look at Mega Man in that series. Mega Man was short and green and said the word Mega every few seconds. It was as if the creators of that cartoon did not spend time with the creators of Mega Man to find out, look, what is Mega Man about? They were just like, oh, this is what he looks like in the game. Draw him.
And also, let's not forget Simon Belmont as well, because bearing in mind in the Castlevania series, Simon Belmont is a badass. In Captain N, he's depicted as this stereotypical
narcissistic persona.
Yeah, narcissistic douchebag, which doesn't work for a character like Belmont.
I think today you could probably do. No, here's the thing: it has been done today, and it's called Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
that's essentially what's become of the whole Captain N idea of bringing all these Nintendo mainstays together. Is Smash Brothers. I mean, now you've got Pokemon fighting Mario, fighting Pit from Kid Icarus. I mean, there's your Captain N today. And and because now we have defined media presences for each of these characters, we now see all those other characters in animes and in videos, and they have voices, and they have this brand attached to each one that is so strong now. We can do it better now. And when we have been. All right,
and here's the thing. Yeah, and here's the thing as well about a Mega Man that was in Captain N. I just want to get off my chest. Mm-hmm. For some reason, whenever I looked at Mega Man in the show, I always thought that's Bobby Hill from King of the Hill in his spandex costume.
Oh god!
Moving on.
Our next question comes from Chad. Chad asks, StarCraft II is coming out. What do you guys expect of the story, and what do you all think about the fact that they estimate 18 months between each expansion pack? Well, actually, it's not expansion packs, really, Chad. What it is it's the different campaigns. They're going to do the Terran campaign, then the Protoss campaign, then the Zerg campaign, and there's going to be 18 months between each one, even though the multiplayer is going to be basically the same on each one. Personally, if out of the story, I am expecting the return of Sarah Kerrigan. I am expecting the fall of the Zerg Empire, because they were allowed to win last time, so I want to see them lose this time. And the 18 months between releases, I think that's the future of gaming right there. I think episodic content is going to serve game developers better than having to churn out a sequel. I think they can make more money, and they can keep their fan base around longer with episodic content. Anybody?
I don't care about StarCraft 2.
I
never played StarCraft 1.
Y'all are lame.
Don't care. Look, you know me. I'm the one person on the planet who played StarCraft 1 and went, yeah, it's right.
Yeah, and which is strange because you actually like real-time strategy games. I'm surprised you don't like
them. That was when I really liked them. That was back when I really liked them. I don't play them much anymore because I don't have time.
I'm not even into real-time strategy, but I guess I love StarCraft because it's a competitive game, and the people who play it are hardcore, and I mean, I like a challenge, you know me, you know?
Makes you feel like a man.
Makes me feel like a man. You know, makes my nipples hard. I will watch StarCraft tournaments in Korea because in Korea they're just nuts over StarCraft as a sport, and I like the fact that gaming can be legitimized as a competition that way, that you know these guys get recognition in Korea for this. I mean, it's something that is very fascinating to me. I mean, as a competitive game, I absolutely love StarCraft, even though I'm shit at it. I spent the month or two that I was in the beta basically getting my ass owned. I probably won one match out of every match I played in StarCraft, but I had fun doing it. It was stuff you learn so much doing that. There were so many because StarCraft is such an open-ended architecture. There are so many things you can do with it. One of the things that blew my mind is when somebody did a Protoss cannon hop. They basically built a line of cannons all the way to my base and started firing. I was like, "How the fuck do you even do that? How is that even possible?" But yet it was, and it's a brilliant tactic. And because you can do shit like that in StarCraft, that's what makes it such a good and flexible game. And I am very much hyped for StarCraft 2 coming out. And it should be out by the end of this month, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I've still got an option to get the collector's edition with all the gubbins, which includes the first game on a USB drive.
Yeah, and I like that. I actually have a friend of mine, Randy, friend of the show. He's actually pre-ordered his for the third time now because for some reason they keep canceling his pre-order. I'm not sure why. I hope he gets it. I really do.
So I would get it, but I don't think my PC could run it. Because I never got one of those StarCraft 2 beta keys.
The system requirements are actually fairly low. I mean, I'm running a 2-year-old video card right now, and that seems to be running.
Yeah, but I've got an 8600 GT.
I'm running a 94.
I think
8600 should be that should be okay for it. I really think. Well, how much RAM are you running?
2 gig on Vista.
That might be fine. That might be fine. Really, I think it is. I don't think StarCraft is going to be that.
If I want to play Mercenaries, I've got to play it low res. I mean, you know, low quality.
Yeah.
Mercenaries 2. If I play Mercenaries 2, it's got to be low quality.
Okay.
So.
Alright. Eddie Prime asks us, what video game console was your favorite as a child, and what was your favorite game on said console? Anybody?
Mega Drive, and I think it's going to have to be, it's between Sonic the Hedgehog 2 and R-Type and Story of Thor.
Oh, Story of Thor, that was a good one.
I rented that from Blockbuster.
Uh-huh.
Got really far in 3 nights because I was addicted to it. Mm-hmm. And then went and bought it. And luckily, it's on the Mega Collection. I just haven't got back into playing it for some reason. Mm. I've really got to play it. It's on that Mega Collection for my 360. But yeah, that's easily... I mean, R-Type was quintessential shooter of the deck of the time.
For any Americans who might be listening who don't know what he's talking about, the Mega Drive is what the Sega Genesis was called in Europe and Japan. It was only called the Sega Genesis in America.
Yeah, because you're special. Mm. And... Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which I still think is the best Sonic game.
I wouldn't fight you on that. That is a really, really good entry in the series, yeah? Mm. Anybody
there
else?
There you go, it's me.
Anybody?
Nope. Nintendo? Nope, no, actually, I'm gonna go with the Atari 2600.
Really?
Yes.
And what was your favorite game on that console?
Pitfall?
Huh, okay.
Yes. I'd actually play Pitfall for hours.
Hmm.
And then from there I went to the Nintendo, and my favorite game on the Nintendo was Super Mario Bros. 3.
Yeah, everybody loves.
Yeah, that was my favorite game on the NES as well.
Mm. Jamie, was that your favorite game on the NES?
I'd have to say yes, but my favorite console I'd have to say is the Super Nintendo, and my favorite games would have to be Mario World and Donkey Kong Country 1.
Cool. Donkey Kong Country 1, fantastic game. One of the first few games to use pre-rendered sprites as its character base. Sammy, what was your favorite console growing up?
My favorite console growing up, and it still is my favorite console, would have to be the PlayStation 1. And my favorite game, which was my first game, my first PlayStation game that I ever got.
Rascal.
Shut up. My favorite game was my favorite game on PlayStation 1 was Typhoon Wrath of the Tiger, which was...
Oh, I wish you'd said Rascal.
No, I'm not saying Rascal. Shut up, Bob.
Oh, yeah, Rascal's a great game.
Compared to the one he mentioned.
All right. But anyway, though, yeah, because... But anyway, for me, yes, Typhoon Wrath of the Tiger was, and it still is, a really good fighting game where basically... it's hard to describe because it's been such a long time since I played it, but from what I remember, that game was the last game that DreamWorks Games produced before they went defunct in 1999. And whenever I feel nostalgic, I always play that game from start to finish, because when I came home from school, I always used to sit glued to the chair and staring at the screen, just playing the game nonstop, and it was such a good game. And it still is, to me, a very special game, and it holds a very special place in my heart for being a really good game.
I know Eddie said game console, but can we count PC in that as, like, a platform for gaming?
No, he said console.
I really want to say PC because, I mean, I grew up, like, in the boom of PC gaming. I want to talk about stuff like Jazz Jackrabbit and King's Quest and stuff like that.
I'll let you say PC, but you've got to pick a console as well.
Okay, if I had to pick a console,
you're the host.
If I had to pick a console, I guess it would have to be the NES, and probably my favorite game on the NES. I mean, yeah, I love Super Mario Bros. 3 as well. I think it's great game design and all that, but at the end of the day, the one game I probably spent the most time on the NES was probably Ninja Gaiden 2. Just because that game kicked my ass so hard that I just kept coming back for more.
The minute that I thought you were going to say Chrono Trigger.
I thought you were going to say Super Mario Bros.
Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo is one of my favorite RPGs of all time, and I still play it to this day. It still holds up. I think it's a masterpiece of game design. I don't think any amount of sequels or remakes can touch it. I think that's a beautiful game. But yeah. I don't know. If you're talking about stuff like I remember from my childhood, I have to default back to the NES and Ninja Gaiden, if not the PC and stuff like... I mean, I remember so many great things about the PC.
What's your best PC one, Toy? Single best PC game.
I'd have to say Jazz Jackrabbit. I spent so much time playing that. Jazz Jackrabbit was, if you don't know, was actually designed by Cliff Bleszinski, who later on went on to design Gears of War. Jazz Jackrabbit was essentially a ripoff of Sonic the Hedgehog. He could run like Sonic the Hedgehog could, but he could also shoot like Mega Man could, and he had like different weapons and guns and whatnot. And it was a nice mix of two very disparate game styles, and the game was designed really, really well, had great music. I remember that there was a time my brother had bought me a demo disc of PC games, and I went through a bunch of them. I went through Hexen and Doom and all the usual stuff, and then I got to the Jazz Jackrabbit one, and I just played that over and over and over again, and we eventually just ordered the game, because I would pop in that demo disc just to play that one game, was Jazz Jackrabbit. It was fantastic.
Speaking of Jazz Jackrabbit, I remember playing the sequel many years ago, and the sequel is just as good as the first game. Sorry, I've never played the sequel.
Yeah, Jazz 2. Jazz 2 was fantastic. A great animation.
That was a really good game.
Only one problem. I think that when you set the game to higher resolutions, it becomes near unplayable because everything becomes so tiny.
Yeah.
But... It was great. And that's when they introduced Spaz Jackrabbit, who is Jazz's brother, who was actually the prototype Jazz Jackrabbit. He was what Jazz looked like before they made him green with the Rambo bandana. Jazz was a fantastic game.
Really good game, yeah.
All right, our last question is from Monkey D. Daniel, and his question is very succinct. 2D versus 3D fighting games. Discuss.
2D.
2D.
I say 2D as 2D. Well. 2D. Yeah. Now, when I say
2D...
I'm talking about 2D as a style, not necessarily as an art style. Because if you were to say 2D versus 3D, to me, okay, let's talk like Street Fighter 4. To me, Street Fighter 4 is a 2D game. Even though it has 3D graphics, it's played on a 2D playing field. You see what I'm saying?
I think that's what he means. That's what he means by his question. He means 2D style fighting games versus 3D style. And 2D games are always more competitive, more fun to play than 3D ones, which end up having confused controls because of the very nature of the 3D.
The two best 3D fighters I can think of off the top of my head have got to be Virtua Fighter and Tekken. I'm not even going to call Soul Calibur in that, because Soul Calibur in my mind is, frankly, a button masher. I don't see much competitively on that scene. But Tekken and Virtua Fighter are immensely competitive and very
interesting. Virtua Fighter is too clever for its own good.
I'm inclined to agree with that.
Because, let's put it this way, for someone like myself who tries to get into fighting games, Virtua Fighter is a no-go.
Mm.
You want to get good at this game? tough. You have to start being good. What? I don't want to. No, you've got to be good now. But I'm going to. No. No learning. Be good now. That's basically what they do with Virtua Fighter games.
From what I remember about Virtua Fighter, a lot of people will say that it's a very hard game series to play.
It's an easy game to learn. It's a hard game to master.
Yeah.
The problem with Virtua Fighter is that it doesn't. It's not very forgiving. However, it's still vastly superior to Dead or Alive, which is just cheap.
Yeah.
Virtua Fighter, you can see how you would beat it. Mm-hmm. You see how it works. Dead or Alive is just cheap.
I wasn't going to bring up Dead or Alive in this conversation.
I hate that game with a passion.
I had Dead or Alive 4 for the 360, and I resold that because there's just, like, there's nothing left to do in that. I don't know. I have to call one game that is basically a 2D fighter but done in 3D, and it was the first 3D fighting game that I actually liked, was Rival Schools. Because Rival Schools, up till Rival Schools, I found 3D games were a little slow because of the nature of the animation, where the character would actually have to do the entire frame of animation. But Rival Schools was basically a thing where if you hit like a light punch or a light kick, it would actually skip frames of animation to give you a fast light punch or light kick, basically making it play like a 2D fighting game did. And because of that, I love Rival Schools. And I'm still begging Capcom to come up with a new Rival Schools game, and I'm hoping that Yoshitori Ono, when he makes his big announcement at San Diego Comic-Con, I think next week, I hope he announces that his new project is Rival Schools. I know he said he wants to work on Darkstalkers, but I don't know. I think Rival Schools deserves to be continued. It was a great series, great artwork, great game. Absolutely fantastic game series. So yeah, 2D versus 3D, I think we're unanimous on that. We like 2D games better. I still say 3D does have its merits. I mean, Tekken is going great guns at EVO this year. I mean, actually, I think this year it was the only solid 3D fighting game at EVO this year.
Yeah.
So, there you go. And you know, even Marvel vs. Capcom 3 coming out, I still consider that a 2D fighting game. That is the epitome of 2D fighting game. It's fast, it's colorful,
it's
over the top. Yeah.
This is what I mean. Like, yeah. Street Fighter 4 is a 2D game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything that plays in those realms is a 2D fighting game. That's what it means. Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is a 2D fighting game. It just has a very high vertical.
I think we'll start to see less and less of actual 2D animation simply because 3D is much easier to create. It's much easier to make characters do what you want them to do rather than have
it
draw a frame of animation. However, that being said, though, there are some 2D, like 2D art style fighting games that will still stick around. Guilty Gear is the very top of my list on that one. The animation, that is beautiful. It's a great game. You know, if you want to talk about like development of 2D games, props to the Mugen community. I don't consider Mugen a competitive fighting game, but in terms of the creativity of the Mugen community, who actually make their own characters and import them into the games, and you know, that's, I mean, props to those guys for doing that in their spare time, you know.
Especially the guy who made the Death Note one.
Oh God, just write your name in the book and you die.
Yeah.
God. Actually, he didn't really make that. He used a sprite from a DS game. Essentially, he didn't really make that. I've seen some nice stuff in Mugen. I've seen like people make a Superman basically by recoloring and re-editing the Magneto sprite from Marvel vs. Capcom. I mean, that shit is just mind-blowing right there. That is some good shit. Real quick, I want to do like what we've been playing this week. Anybody been playing anything really interesting?
Not really.
Nope.
Borderlands. Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
I've been going through pretty much the Metal Slug Anthology, Tekken 3, and currently, again, Transformers War for Cybertron.
I have been playing, as usual, Super Street Fighter 4. I've been playing Singularity, which I still maintain is a great game, even though it's trying to frustrate me a little bit, but I'm still having loads of fun with it. I picked up this week for the Wii, I picked up Smash Brothers Brawl, which I'm kind of breezing through. I'm just upset that Moon's not here that we could talk about it, but it is a fun game, easy as it is. I'm actually having some fun with it. Replaying the levels that I skipped on Super Mario Brothers Wii. I picked up Muramasa the Demon Blade, but I have not popped it in yet because I want to make sure I clear Singularity and Smash Brothers before I devote time to Muramasa. Because I have the feeling the minute I start playing Muramasa, I'm not going to stop. So I just want to get everything off my plate before I start playing that. So yeah. Yeah. I think that's about it for this week. Anything we want to thank our listeners for? Anybody want to tell them to you know, go do something with themselves? Anybody?
Listen to the show more.
Yeah.
Download it more.
Recommend it to all your friends.
Yeah. If not, we're going to mail you Toya.
Even the ones that are going to die soon, tell them to listen to it.
That was kind of a morbid thought.
The last thing they listened to.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay.
I'm in one of those moods.
Just to reiterate to everyone, you can reach us, you can contact us by leaving a message on our Facebook page. You can also contact me on Twitter. I am TF_Toya. You can leave any questions about the show there. You can leave suggestions about the show. We are probably going to be start doing a live show maybe once a month. We'll see how that goes. I need to set up my little home studio for that to happen. But we are looking to branch out. We're looking to make this podcast thing big as it is. And stay tuned next week. We may have a special guest coming on the podcast that I don't really want to say anything about before it doesn't happen. But big shit is big. Let's say that. Big shit is big. All right. As we close off the show, I want to thank our question askers. I want to thank Shiva, Backcam11, Autobot Murder, Chris, Uppercase CCC, Hot Rod G1, Timey2 Wimey, Chad, Eddie Prime, and Monkey D. Daniel. Thank you all for being loyal listeners to the show. We hope that you'll recommend it to everybody you know. Coming from me, Toya, I'm saying goodbye, and this is coming to you from myself as well as Bob.
Bye-bye.
Sammy.
Take care, folks.
Sean.
Later, folks.
And Jamie.
See ya.
What? Jamie.
All right, catch you on the flip side.
Yeah! Now it's a show! All right, folks, this is Toya, and we will see you next week.